it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Diving right back into it. Thanks to George and Steve for explaining everything about their volleyball tournament. I always think of volleyball, I think I'm just goose and mad, baby. Sunglasses, oiled skin, shirtless, let's go. I love beach volleyball. I just don't have the body for it anymore. I get up the next morning and I can't even walk. You walk in the sand, man. Talk about a workout. Those football players do it in the offseason.
Try running in the sand, man. I tried that one time. Like, I got to bring my shoes. I'm going to go run in the sand. Yeah, sure. That's not going to happen.
So we talk about this game against Philadelphia, and it seems like, man, there's going to be a lot of pressure, I think, on a lot of different people. But I think this is a game in which you go back to the old saying of, in Spags, we trust. Because Max in a set stat on Monday about quarterbacks with the most amount of time to throw the football. And number one in the NFL last week was?
No, it was Jalen Hurts by far, almost had 4 seconds to throw.
Right.
His A dot was also extremely low.
Which means he's not throwing at his average depth of pass.
That's hard, right? Yeah, not so, throwing far down the field.
So he's, you know, nickeling and diming his receivers, and saw a little bit of that from Justin Herbert in the game on Friday night in Brazil, and pressure was an issue on Justin Herbert.
Contain was an issue on Justin Herbert, too.
And again, people will tell you, football people will tell you, and we'll have Nate Taylor on in about 7 minutes, that if you let a quarterback sit back and, you know, read everything and have no pressure, it doesn't matter if it's Daniel Jones or if it's Justin Herbert, they'll find a way to beat you, because they're professional players. They can sit back. They don't have anything to worry about. But if you can get somebody in his face and contain him, Jalen Hurts may be a different quarterback. Now, he's played very well against the Chiefs in years past. It hasn't been Saquon Barkley. Obviously, the only time they played against Saquon Barkley was in the Super Bowl, and it was not him that beat you. It was yourselves, and it was Jalen Hurts' arm. You have two wide receivers on that team that are very good in Smith and A.J. Brown. Both had what they would consider disappointing games for themselves. I mean, one catch for 8 yards was A.J. Brown. Fantasy owners know that too well. And I think when you look at this game, they've got a lot to prove offensively, and the Chiefs have a lot to prove defensively. And I think both teams would tell you that week one was not a image of what they plan on being throughout the regular season. And this is a game where I think if Spags can draw it up and really do his job and get Jalen Hurts a little shook back there, that's a big ask, right, for Spags to do. You know, rotating those defensive linemen in that you drafted, get pressures, all those things that Mac had mentioned on Monday about the three interior linemen, 68% of the time, zero pressures.
Well, and that's where I'll jump in on you and say, it's not a Spags game. It's a players game. They got to execute. The game plan will be there. It's whether or not the players go out and execute that game plan and play the position that they're supposed to play. Chris Jones didn't do that on Friday night. I don't know what he was doing on Friday night. He didn't show up in the box score. And then on the last play, he's not doing what he's supposed to. I have full confidence that Steve Spagnuolo is going to dial up the right game plan. I have no doubt in my mind he's got the track record to do so. Will the players go out there and execute the game plan? Because nobody gave the Giants a chance to beat the Patriots with Tom Brady. Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator, dialed it up, shut down Tom Brady. How many times has he shut down Tom Brady and some of the best offenses out there right now? So I think this is what we do when we like players. We don't want to criticize those players. We'd rather criticize the coaches. It's easier that way. This needs to be a Chris Jones game. This needs to be a game where Chris Jones shows us why he is the best player on defense in the NFL. And for the last couple of years, really since the gambling thing has become legal in the state of Kansas, I always look at the defensive player of the year odds, right? And I always want to see where Chris Jones is going to be ranked. 2 years ago, he's pretty damn high. Last year, not so much. This year, 66-1 to start the season. This week, 75-1 to be the defensive player of the year. If he's going to be considered by many to be the greatest defensive lineman in the game today, then he needs to play like the greatest defensive lineman in the game today, and he needs to take over this game. Spags is going to give them the cheat code. Spags is going to give them the answers to the test. they have to be willing to go out there and then execute all of that kind of stuff. And so for me, it starts and ends with Chris Jones. I need a Chris Jones game this week. And then George Karlaftis, bro, you got paid. It's like the spotlight's kind of on you now too. Like, they're going to put you in the right position. I don't want to hear that, oh, I just went underneath instead of outside. And like, those are big mistakes that happen in a game that determine the outcome of the game. So I need these guys to go in and first of all, play sound fundamental football. I know that sounds Binkley-like, but that's what you got to do. You got to understand your assignment. Do your job. Don't worry about anybody else's job. Focus on what you got to do. But also, we always talk about the Mahomes magic. I need some Chris Jones magic in this game, man. Everybody's kind of talking about the offense not getting the job done and Worthy being hurt. This defense still gave up 27 points and pooped the bed in the biggest moment possible with your best player possible at the end of the game. I need a Chris Jones game in this one.
I also think this is a heavy linebackers game.
I know
Nate Taylor will be on the show because he's getting ready to come on the show. But again, you look at Nick Bolton. Your assignment this week is going to be Dallas Goedert. Tranquil, Gelati, your assignment is going to be Saquon Barkley or, you know, spying Jalen Hurts. And to me, it's on those three guys. You brought Nick Bolton back to be a cornerstone of this defense. We remember last year, tight ends early in the season were cooking Nick Bolton. Dallas Goedert is an aging tight end, but he can still do his thing. Saquon Barkley, we know who he is. Tranquil, Chenal, you guys are going to be out there as well, and you can't let Jalen Hurts dictate what he wants to do. If you can put him in a corner and put him back and make him actually think about it and not actually just be back there and comfortable and all that, it's going to be a long day. But let's get to Nate Taylor of ESPN.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break national NFL news.
It's baby laugh.
Here's Nate Taylor from ESPN with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. We dive right into it. Nate Taylor here of ESPN. Nate Taylor, am I right or wrong that I'm putting too much pressure on these linebackers in this crucial game against the Philadelphia Eagles?
No. I think you're doing a good of service to everyone to remind people that the Eagles are built on the threat of running and then the execution of Jalen Hurts to pass the ball when given the opportunity and, of course, the time, like you guys talked about a little bit ago. So, no, I mean, it'd be nice if the linebackers played well in the home opener on Sunday against the Eagles in the Super Bowl rematch. You know, one of the things that I know you guys just mentioned this too, but it was really remarkable how Steve Spagnuolo and the defense in the Super Bowl did such a good job on Saquon Barkley that you thought you were going to put Jalen Hurts in sort of like do or die situations. The problem was it was an absolute disaster on offense. So that really didn't, you know, play a ton of factor into the game. But you're hoping for a similar performance, right? You don't want Saquon Barkley to get really, really going. But at the same time, too, you also need to cover Dallas Goedert and have the ability to, I don't know, create a turnover, create a big moment. I know that's what you're asking for, Bob, whether it's from Chris Jones or somebody else. But they're going to have to, you know, support the offense really, really well in order for this team not to go 0-2.
All right, I'm gonna ask you a question like I'm a father, okay? And I think you'll understand that because you got the two little ones running around as well. I'm looking at Chris Jones last week, out of position, not doing what he's supposed to do, and I'm thinking to myself, aren't you too old to be doing this? Like, haven't we talked about this before? Like, why are we still doing this? You're a teenager now.
Yeah, and I think that's why Drew Tranquil kind of lost his mind in front of all of us. Because he, too, is a father and has kids. And so does Chris Jones. So it's a great analogy where you're just like, we've talked about this. I've showed you. Like, why? Why are you doing this? Why? Now, I get it from Chris' standpoint where he's like, I feel like I got to make a play. I got to get the ball back to the offense. But it's 3rd and 14. It's not 3rd and 4, right? I think if the situation was different, if it was even 3rd and 7, I would be a little bit more lenient to Chris Jones saying like, hey, I beat my guy one-on-one. You know, I got the matchup I wanted. I created pressure. Hey, if we didn't tackle him, you know, that's too bad. But when it's 3rd and 14, he can't get the first down scrambling when you're the one who flushed him out of the pocket. And I understand why Spags really didn't have a spy because, again, it's 3rd and 14. Like,
right.
You got to cover people. And the season had issues earlier in the game, you know, covering receivers downfield when they weren't running into one another. So if your coordinator is not going to have – a spy. And for one of the few times in the entire game, you cover the receivers. All you got to do is just make the quarterback check it down. And so that is just containing the pocket. I think this will do a really bit of good for the Chiefs, honestly, because those mistakes are just so unusual to what we've come to know this team for the last 3 years, that doing it on a, you know, international stage in the first game of the season, if that can't wake you up and refocus you, then the Chiefs have a lot bigger problems. But I think it will do them a bit of good to be focused against the world champs and know that, like, hey, the Chargers did what they were supposed to do, but you honestly could have played better, and everybody knows that.
This feels like a game to kind of refocus everybody. Embarrassed in the Super Bowl, embarrassed on national television. We really haven't seen this team embarrassed kind of 2 weeks in a row, if you will, like they kind of have been over the last couple of weeks. I feel like this is one of those games, one of these moments where you kind of refocus and we see maybe that Mahomes of old, if you will, that kind of that Chiefs magic that we're used to, and they come out and they're ready to put on a display because they've been kicked in the nuts all week by everybody.
What a phrase. It's so true. It would be nice if they got off to a fast start. Again, I know it's two games, and I know it's just week one. But it would be really nice if they got a lead. You know, they didn't get a lead in the Super Bowl, and it just sort of snowballed. That obviously was basically an avalanche. And then last week it was like, well, because of the nature of Xavier Worthy's injury, and we pretty much know he's not going to play against the Eagles, but because of the nature of that injury, it was very much like, oh, no, not again. Like, please, not again. And, oh, by the way, the Chargers are going right up and down the field. And before you kind of regroup, it's 10-0, right? And a 10-point lead in the NFL is significant. So there are issues that they have, but they got to have a faster start in Arrowhead.
Let me talk about, as we here on 96.5 The Fan, we're talking to Chiefs beat writer for ESPN, Nate Taylor. Nate, let me talk about my biggest problem, and I think it's your biggest problem, and I know it's probably got the fingers cramping up every single game. How about right tackle Juwan Taylor? What is the leash on him? How many times more can he get away with this? The penalty yards, the false starts, the holdings. What's the shelf life of Juwan Taylor?
Ooh, I mean, this has got to be, you know, a real conversation that they're having at, like, you know, 11 p.m. Maybe, like, the custodial staff is gone. You know, there are no players in the facility at this point. And it's really just Coach and Andy Heck, the offensive line coach, and maybe Tom Melvin, tight ends, you know, Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator. And you just say, okay, like, you know, the front office has done us a really nice service of having a legitimate, overqualified sixth offensive lineman. And I know he plays left tackle because he learned under Tripp Williams in San Francisco for 4 years. We did have him split reps in training camp at right tackle. So,
right.
Traditionally, ladies and gentlemen, I like to say, give your team 4 weeks. Give your team 4 weeks to really understand what's good about the team, what's bad about the team, what actually can be improved from, like, week five on versus, yep, let's just scrap that from the playbook. It don't look right with this collection of players. But, man, given everything we know and given, you know, the knee injury that Juwan Taylor had to play through last year, okay, bud, you're technically supposed to be healthy, but you can't be the most penalized offensive lineman in the league again. You just can't. So now I think I'm in a place where, you know what, guys, we'll see how it goes on Sunday. You know, the starting lineup is not changing for the Eagles. I think the game that really is the spotlight is once again Sunday Night Football in week three against the Giants. And yep, there's Chris Collinsworth. And I just wonder, guys, like, if it's a standalone game, prime time, no one else, everybody's watching. And again, the Giants have a pretty good defensive line,
yeah,
with Dexter Lawrence and all those guys. So again, not, you know, even though the Giants aren't good, that's a good part of their actual team. Man, if it doesn't improve in the next 2 weeks for a veteran NFL player who started the majority of his career, I think it's understandable to say, hey, maybe for week four against Baltimore, we just want to see what it looks like with Jalen Moore on the field instead of you. And if that's the is that the course of action we have to go to as like a last resort with Juwan Taylor, then I guess you have to do it. I would usually give a guy 4 weeks, but mm-hmm. it might be three. And he should have no issues on Sunday. I want to make that clear, too. Like, you're at home. The crowd will not be a factor. You're not on a foreign land. You've played this team literally 6 months ago. Like, there's just not a lot of excuses, guys, that I can I can sort of couch. So see how it goes on Sunday. If it gets worse or it stays the same Sunday and the following week in New York, then I can't stop the herd from overtaking the decisions from the coaching staff.
Let's look at the running back position. Didn't get utilized all that much against the Chargers. Do you think we see more utilization of those guys? And do we have enough at that position right now?
Well, you know, fellas, I asked Andy Reid this, and I don't think I made him happy yesterday.
Oh, were you the one that asked the question? I said it was Vahe, so I apologize if you were the one that asked the question.
It was me, and I was just like, "Hey, you wanna further?" I think I could have phrased it better, so I'll be accountable, ladies and gentlemen. But I did want to say, hey, okay, everybody, yes, we want to get an update on Worthy, and yes, we want to see what's going on with the offense, and whose responsibility was what, and okay, you don't want to. You know, obviously there's a Super Bowl rematch. But, Coach, what about the running backs? Was basically how right. I started. And I was like, you want to further evaluate that, right? Because you can't really evaluate that with 10 plays or 10 carries between Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. And he was just like, yeah, Nate. I was just like, thanks, Coach. Cool. You're good. Okay, I can put it in my notebook. They're going to run the ball more than 10 times to a running back.
Right.
So, They have to. And I think that was one of the few mid-game adjustments they actually missed. Because if you look in the second half, once they got into the locker room, boy, that coaching staff got to work. Mahomes, as we know, was excellent. They went, touchdown, field goal. And if they get the ball back, we're pretty confident Mahomes is driving down for a game-winning touchdown.
Right.
So they did fine at halftime. But I think in that second quarter, what they could have done was actually run the ball more to just, hey, slow the pace down, get your quarterback comfortable, start figuring out, hey, what is our personnel packages for third down? Let's not have, you know, there's a couple third and tens in the first quarter, early second quarter, and you're like, well, the reason it's third and ten is because you don't know what receivers is running what routes, because Xavier Worthy was a huge part of the game plan, and you're not handing the ball off to make the game easy or simple for the coaching staff and the quarterback. So, hey, get off to a fast start against the Eagles. You do not want Jalen Carter against Kingsley Suamazi'io one-on-one on third and 10. You know how you can mitigate that? Have it be third and four.
Right.
Run the ball once or, you know, set up your bubble screens. Do your traditional screens to Pacheco or to Kareem Hunt. We all know Andy Reid likes running screen plays. So, hey, give the running game a little bit more variety. You know, trust those guys. I think, you know, Josh Simmons could actually be a better run blocker early in this rookie season than even a pass blocker, which is, I think, saying something because he actually did pretty well for that to be his first game last week against the Chargers and, of course, Khalil Mack. So he wasn't embarrassing. So, hey, offensive linemen would like to go forward, especially early in the game, set a tempo, set a intensity, and just mix it up a little bit and then let Mahomes, you know, carry you in the second half.
Nate, real quick, one or the other, who plays more, Gelati or Bashard Smith?
Ooh, it was up to me. It'd be Gelati.
Okay.
Anybody. Like, if I'm Joe Cullen, I'm screaming at Mike Dana and George Karloftis specifically. I'll give Charles Omenihu a little bit of a break because, hey, you know,
he's not used to week one.
Yeah, right. Hey, you know, we're just happy you're healthy and in uniform, right?
No doubt.
But for Mike Dana and George Karloftis, nah, man, I got to see better out of you. Because if I don't see better out of you, I'm playing the kid more, right?
No doubt.
He had a couple good stops in the second quarter specifically, and then they didn't really play him in the second half just because, hey, you're a rookie. You know, let's just take this thing slow. But, hey, if there's a chance of us going –
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Number two, I got to play the kid because he at least showed a lot of power, and he didn't show like that the moment was too big for him, which I think is a big thing. Like, hey, didn't make any mental mistakes, made a couple tackles, pressured the quarterback when he had an opportunity. Hey, we got to see more from Mike Dana and George Karlaftis so that you don't feel the need that you have to play Ashton Gelati too much too soon. But that would be my pick right now.
No doubt. That is Nate Taylor, the Chiefs beat writer for ESPN. Nate, stay safe and have a good one on Sunday. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
Thanks, Nate.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.